this week on the Time Bat Show,
elevated, like, prestigious person,
sure,
is the firm handshake.
Uh-huh.
And the other person is a little bit looser.
Okay.
And while you're shaking, you the like firmer person wiggles the lower person's hand back and forth a little, like okay. a fish.
Yeah, yeah, I got it. And the lower person receives the fish wiggle.
Yeah, receives the fish wiggle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 120. I am one of your hosts, Time Asus.
I am your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we have a lot to talk about, I feel like, on this episode. It feels like it's been a long time since we've done an episode, but it's only been a week.
Yeah, it feels longer than normal.
Does it? Like, is there a reason for that? I don't really know. It just feels like more time has passed since our last episode.
Well, for me, I had two short weeks in a row at work, so.
Oh. And for me, I had one really long week.
Okay.
So maybe that's why it feels longer since last we left off. But what happened in the world since last we spoke? I'm trying to think.
In the world, there were a couple cool. I guess we already talked about the Google Game Console. Something
we
didn't get to last time, though, now that you mention it, that happened in the world was, you know the game Dwarf Fortress?
Yes.
So that's getting released on Steam.
Oh, yes, I heard about this.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool. I'm excited. Are you going to buy it?
Absolutely. I'm now, a huge fan.
Are they going to sell it? Because I know they have it for free right now on the internet, right?
Yeah, it's free to download.
So is it going to be not free soon?
Yeah. My understanding is that it's going to be paid because they hired a bunch of the community mod creators that make, because, you know, Dwarf Fortress as it is an ASCII game.
Yeah.
But you can play it with graphics packs.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired people and actually paid them to create, that. Like, an official graphics pack for the game.
Right. And then they're going to release it on Steam.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to buy it.
Which is cool fine. With. I mean, yeah. I've gotten my money's worth playing that game for free.
The cool thing about Dwarf Fortress is this is, like, these people's, like, life goal.
Yeah.
Right? It's, like, their whole life is for the singular goal of making Dwarf Fortress a better game over and over again. And that's cool. I wish I could do that. But I don't know how. Because they've gotten to some they figured something out where they could make something that was making them enough money that they could keep sustaining themselves while keep making the game good, you know?
Yeah, their story is so inspiring. It's two brothers that learned how to make cheap little ASCII games when they were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them used to be a math professor, and the other one, I think, was a musician or something.
See, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if you've played the game, you can kind of see some of that.
It makes sense.
But yeah, they quit their jobs, and they've only worked on this for, like, the past 15 years.
That's so cool.
Done nothing else. And they've never charged for it. They've just somehow gotten by.
But now they have to, because they probably need money. But, I mean, it's still really cool. I don't know, I just love something about the whole story. It's a very romantic story, right? It's very cool.
Yeah.
I wish people could be able to do that. Being able to do what you love to do and be able to sustain yourself doing it consistently like that is really impressive.
Yeah, to, like, have a calling and, you know, be able to pursue it.
A lot of people have callings that they just can't, like, make that into their career, right? Like, they can't, like, make money off of that enough to be able to, you know, you have to make sacrifices, but these people were like, no, we're doing it, and it works, so good for them, that's really cool. But yeah, I'll buy it on Steam. Sure, why not?
I can't wait for you to buy it, I can teach you how to play.
Oh my god, it's like the most complicated game in the world.
Yeah.
But also one of the most intriguing, so.
Yeah.
We should, what we should do is we should have, not an episode of the podcast, but like a one-off where you're over Skype with me. And I'm learning how to play Dwarf Fortress. And, like, I'll screen share what's happening.
Yeah.
And you can just tell me what's going on in the game.
That's such a good idea, because I was planning on making a tutorial anyway for the release.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like for free? Like for online or whatever? Like
yeah, I was going to do a YouTube video, because I've probably spent like over 1,000 hours on the game. Wow.
Okay, so you know... See, so I want to play it, but I'm really overwhelmed. So I want to get in... I want to Skype with you, screen share, and then you can be like, okay, this is this, and just give me like a... an hour rundown of Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah.
And we can talk about it.
How's we can that? Make that it a series, because it's like at least 10 hours to learn the basics.
Okay, we can do a spin-off Dwarf Fortress podcast.
That'd be so sick.
Okay, what's the Dwarf Cast? Is that a good name? I don't know what the name would be of the podcast.
We could name it something totally unrelated, like we do our show right now. Just something that like isn't indicative of the content.
No, no, whatsoever. No, we can call it Fey Mood. That's what we'll call the podcast.
Yeah, Fey Moods with Time Aces and Bat Snacks.
Because we've referenced that in the show before.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. It's the Fey Mood with Time Aces and Bat Snacks. So, yeah, we'll do that when it comes out. Whenever it does. You just let me know when it comes out. I don't know.
I'll let you know, yeah.
Anyway, what's that? What else is going on in the world? You brought a lot of stories today, I feel like. You had like 8 that you were tweeting at me earlier.
I had an inspired week. I had, you know, extra time off, so I had to find stuff to occupy myself.
So that time was spent looking at random news stories over and over again?
Not news stories. We can get right into the big topic if you want.
I'm ready for
okay. getting into the big topic thing. Is I've discovered the show called Project Runway.
You're only like 10 years late on that one.
Yeah, it's like season 17, and I've just discovered the show. And it's really cool.
So how did you discover it? Was it like a rerun on A&E or something? And you're like, oh, this is good.
They have a new season out right now that's only on episode 2. And I watched the first 2 episodes of it because it was on TV.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, this is good.
Whoa, this is so cool.
And then you went back and watched all the other ones?
Yeah, I've watched like a season and a half so far.
Mm-hmm. Of like the original season?
Of the like previous.
So now, like, let me ask you, because Project Runway, I feel like it must have been 10 or 15 years ago when it first came out, right?
Yeah.
And when it first came out, people would not shut up about that show. Not, like, in a bad way. I'm just saying, like, that's what people talked about. Like, Project Runway, da-da-da-da. I mean, I'm sure people still talk about it, but when it was a new thing, it was, like, the thing to talk about. Now it's not really the thing anymore, right?
Yeah.
But you probably want to talk about it because you just discovered it. So how does that, like, how do you feel about that?
I'm used to it because I do that all the time. But yeah, I've been going around work like all week this week being like, hey, have you heard of this show called Project Runway? And I think my favorite response I've gotten so far was, yeah, when my daughters lived at home, they were really into that.
Like 10 years
like
ago.
10 years ago. They're like 30 now.
See, there you go. This reminds me of an app idea that I've had forever that I think is a really good idea. It's kind of off topic, but will you allow me to talk about
that? Yeah, no, I'm interested.
It relates to the exact thing you're talking about, where you just experienced this thing for the first time. You're a little late to it. You really want to talk about it with someone, but no one around wants to talk about it because it's like old news. You know what I mean? It's like... if you watch The Matrix for the first time today, you'd be like, oh man, I want to talk about that movie. And it's like, dude, like that was 20 years ago. Like, we don't talk about that anymore. You know what I mean? But the idea basically is, and we don't even have this on the internet. It's so weird because you would think that the internet would have solved this problem where like, okay, I'm watching season 1 of Project Runway. I want to talk about season 1 of Project Runway. You go on the internet, and there's probably Project Runway forums, but they're only talking about the new season, you know?
Yeah.
Or there's, like, movie forums, and they're not talking about The Matrix anymore, because that's a 20-year-old movie, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, you really want to talk about this movie you just saw, this show you just watched, this old. So the idea is, got this app. You input a thing you just finished on the app. And then it tries to match you with somebody else who also just finished that thing so you can talk about the thing together, like in text or whatever. But the key here is it doesn't match you instantaneously. It like puts it in the app and then puts it in like a sleep mode thing. So it's like waiting for someone else to input the same keyword as you. and then within like a week, and then when it does, it like notifies you like, hey, someone else just watched Project Runway for the first time, or someone else just watched The Matrix for the first time, or someone else just watched Lord of the Flies for the first time, or read Lord of the Flies for the first time and wants to talk about it. Do you want to talk about it with them? And you're like, yep. And then you're like, do-do-do-do, and then you can, well, didn't do it.
Yeah, it creates a small community for you where you can share that experience with other people.
Exactly. Unlike where it is now, whereas you just go on, like if you saw Fight Club for the first time, and you're like, whoa, that ending was crazy, I need to talk about that. You'd go on the movie Reddit, and you'd be like, hey, Fight Club's crazy, and everyone would just be like, dude, you're like 30 years late. Like, you're really late to the party here. But if you had this app, the person on the other end put in Fight Club that they want to talk about it. So obviously, you're both already wanting to talk about Fight Club, and then you can talk about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Can I give you an idea for maybe another feature of the app?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, really popular series, movies, books, and stuff like that, they should have matchmaking kind of like in, like, you would have in League of Legends or Dota, where they put you on a team, and it's not like versus or anything. But there's a designated start date where you have to start watching the show. And it assigns you like an episode every week, like a book club. And you're on this team of people and you have to watch this old show in sync with each other.
And then you can talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, like it's new.
That would be like an optional feature. Like you would have the talking just for fun one. And then you'd have like, these bracket clubs where they have like, they like do the things at the same time.
Yeah, I think that'd be so fun. Like season one of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, or whatever.
Like you join season a team of 20 people.
Yeah, Battlestar Galactica. And you're like, oh, we've never watched this before. And then you talk about it every week. And then you have someone to actually talk about this with you, as opposed to going on the internet and be like, hey, did anyone want to talk about this? And everyone's like, LOL, no, that was like 20 years ago, dude. I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. You know, which I feel like I run into pretty frequently. And it's wild because you'd think the internet would have solved that problem already because everyone's out there. But the thing is, it's so hard to find another person that wants to talk about the thing that you just experienced because there's so much crap all over the place.
And it's mostly new stuff.
But there are people out there that inevitably want to talk about old stuff that they just saw. And this app would just bring them together, you know?
Yeah, I would love that.
I think it would be cool, yeah. It'd be called, like, Fanner. No, that's a bad name. I'll come up with something better later. Okay. But, yeah, so you could do that with Project Runway.
Anyway, my favorite challenge so far on this Project Runway show I've been watching is one of the challenges is you have to create a clothing company and pitch your idea to an investor. Okay. And depending on how good the investor thinks it is, they'll award you a different amount of money that you can use towards your idea.
Oh, so you actually can get something out of this.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like a real investor. They have mock investors that have like $1,000.
I gotcha.
And you can win up to $1,000 from each one.
I gotcha.
So my idea for a clothing company, the ones on the show were super dumb. I hated them.
But you have a better idea.
I think I have a really good idea. All
right, let's hear it. I will judge your idea.
So, yeah, you'll be the investor.
Yes. I have a fake $1,000 just ready to go.
Yeah. So, first, I'll tell you the ideas that they pitched on the show already. It was basically, like, a young professional that's just buying clothes for work. That was, like, their whole idea.
That's not an idea. That's just... That's nothing.
Anyway, my idea, I've already fleshed out the whole thing. I thought of this instantly while I was watching the show.
Go.
So the brand is called Zed Game.
Zed Game?
Yes, Zed Game.
Okay.
And the logo is a rook, like in chess.
Oh, okay, yep.
And the meaning of the brand is like, so you're just getting started, you know, in your career, in life, or whatever, and you need to buy clothes to make a good impression at your first workplace.
Right, sure. That makes sense.
And the idea is that Zed Game clothes look exactly the same as normal department store clothes, but they're like three times as expensive.
What?
Why would you? Hear me out. Here's why you can do this.
Okay.
First, they're made with how do you say it? Like environmentally friendly materials.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So first they're green materials.
Sure.
So, and that ties into the name because you're also preparing for Earth's end game. You know what I mean? Zed game meaning end game.
I got it.
And the idea behind Zed game is it'll be such a recognizable brand because it's so expensive. If people seeing you wear that, they'll think, oh, he's investing in his future by buying these clothes.
By buying Zed game clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, the people that would buy these would be the most awful human beings, though.
And here's why it's so good, because you can't own just one Zed game shirt.
No,
because that shows you're not committed.
You have to own like your whole wardrobe.
Yeah, if you're gonna own these clothes, you can't wear anything else.
That would be so expensive, but people would buy. I mean, you're right. You would have to have a very big marketing campaign of like really attractive people wearing these clothes.
Just pay some Instagram people.
You know what I mean?
To wear them.
And they're like, it's my first job. I'm buying Zed game because I'm worth it or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And there would be two collections. There would be the everyday wear you wear to the office every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be the first impressions wear. And those are like 10 times as expensive.
Are those more casual, though, or those?
The first impression ones would be ones you wear to like an interview only one time, like a suit.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Like a suit. Like
a really nice suit.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like there should be another category, and that's like dating first impressions.
Oh, good idea.
You know what I mean? Like a really nice, it's more casual, but it's like really high quality.
Yeah.
And it's for first impressions when you're dating. You know what I mean?
And it shows you care about the future of your relationship because you're spending a lot of money.
And the environment at the same
time. And the environment, yeah.
And yourself. You know? Because you're worth it.
Isn't that kind of evil?
It is evil. And then here's another thing you can do.
Yeah.
This is really evil. You give the people that bought the Zed game clothes like an exclusive membership club that they can like talk to each other on the internet somehow to like be exclusive. You know what I mean?
Oh, so like if you have an exclusive community.
Yeah. That you can only be a part of if you buy like some amount of Zed game clothing. Mm-hmm. And then, like, they'll have, like, job-like postings up there,
oh,
too.
Shit.
And be like,
they'll have, like, the first, like, oh, we're giving this first crack at the job to people who own Zed game.
It's sort of like a fraternity, right?
Yes, it's like a fraternity.
Because if someone at the top wears Zed game clothes and they see that you're also a Zed game member, they're going to give the job to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, it's such a... See, this is such a good idea.
And the guy, the CEO or whatever, right? He's like, oh, you know, before we post this to the website, this job, let's post it to the Zed Game site. They have, like, their own job board and see if we get any hits. And they, like, interview those people first because it's like, they know what they're doing. This is exclusive. So it's not just clothing. It's like a lifestyle, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a...
100%.
You care about yourself and being exclusive.
It's a philosophy.
And then also, as in addition to the job board they have, they probably have like a dating portal too for people that own Zed Game clothing.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, the people that do this would be so, they would be so annoying. But
you can imagine the people that wear
these,
right?
Great idea. I mean, but I know it would work. People out there have disposable income, and they are ready to be exclusive and make a good first impression and all that stuff. And even the people that aren't rich, a lot of people would buy it anyway to appear like they are, you know, able to do this.
But I would want to make a lot of the designs like strategy game kind of inspired, like
very
chess.
Yeah.
Or checkers.
Chess is very classy. I wouldn't do checkers. But chess is a very classy game.
Yeah.
So that would, chess would work really well. Like you could have a bunch of clothing lines and you can name them all off of chess pieces. You know?
I think the dating line you incorporate some astrology symbolism.
Yes,
because it's like
Libra.
You're divining a better future for yourself by wearing the clothes.
Yeah. Whereas the business line is all chess related.
Yeah.
So you got like the Rook collection and the Bishop collection.
Oh, and the King and collection.
That's the really expensive one.
Yeah.
That's like the CEO level clothing.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and you could do trading cards too. Or not trading cards.
Is that too lame?
Not trading cards. You could base it off of poker cards, is what I was going to say.
So okay. Like
Jack, Queen, King.
Yeah, those would be like little knickknacks you could buy at the stores. You could buy like, you know, your poker, or you could buy like a martini shaker.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All kind of like dumb stuff like that.
You could have like Zed Game shops around. Like, obviously, they would have like outlet stores, but then you could also have like exclusive stores within the outlet store. But like, you have to be a member to like go in there.
Oh, they got a secret room.
It's like the VIP.
They have like cocktails in there.
Yeah.
It's like in the mall. So it's like Zed Game, the store where people buy the clothes. And then there's like the VIP room that you have to like have already spent like $1,000 in order
to. You have to be wearing the clothes to walk in there.
Yes, you have to already be wearing the clothes.
And you can't just like buy them and walk in there. You got to like come back later.
They track it. They have like a guy that tracks it. And then they're like, oh, welcome back, sir. Here we go. And then they go in. And they have like a bartender back there. And they have other stuff you can buy, but you can only buy it in the VIP room. They don't sell it online, and they don't sell it in the regular store. You have to already bought some Zed Game items in order to get into the back room.
Yeah, that's the Queen's collection.
Yeah. So it's like you already have to spend a certain amount of money to even have access to this new level of stuff. It's kind of like Scientology in that way.
It's such a good idea. I don't know why businesses don't take advantage of this, like, fraternity,
I don't know.
Like, people group love elitist people, mindset.
People love belonging to groups that they see that they think are like exclusive and cool and important. Yeah. Like, people love that. Millennials especially, we like love it like so much that I think a lot of businesses have taken advantage of it, but not to the full extent where they could. Right.
Right.
So like a really good example of businesses that do this is Apple. Like every time they release a product, you're not buying an Apple product. You're buying an Apple experience, right? You're buying the experience, and you're part of the family of Apple users now. You know, like you're in an exclusive group now. You know, it's not just about the phone. It's about you're part of that group. And so I think a lot of companies do that in the way they're branding their stuff. Like, you're in this exclusive group. You're paying for the experience. But businesses don't really take it to what you're saying, which is like, literally, let's have an exclusive group, you know? Yeah,
let's literally have a secret society.
Yeah, exactly, that you get from buying clothing.
Apple is so good, dude. You obviously, you've been in one of their stores, you have an iPhone, but like the way they set up their stores so that it looks like a futuristic farmer's market is so smart, and there's always so many people in there.
Sometimes I wonder, like, they must have, like, psychologists working for them, determining, like, you know, how can we appeal to human, like, logic and emotion the most, you know what I mean? And they're good at it, so.
Yeah, it has that, like, you know, like, town square in between the pyramids where all the people trade their, like,
it does.
They're fruits good. And vegetables kind of feel to their store. I love that.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. But Zed Game would be, I feel like their store would have to be like similar in a way that it's like one-on-one service, and like, you know, you're not like looking on racks for clothing, right? There's a bunch of mannequins around.
Yeah.
And like, when you want something, you point it out and they get it for you from the back. Like, you don't like take anything off a rack or anything like
that. No. I think you want a super high barrier to entry that will like intentionally scare people away. Like, you don't have a sign or anything. Like, if there was an outlet store, there would just be like a tiny rook symbol, and it would be like that secret mason symbol that you see.
This is so good. Yeah. Like, the more exclusive it seems, the more people will want to be
of it.
The funny thing about that, so we have a bar here in Austin that you like cannot get into unless you know a passcode.
And I remember you took me to that.
The reason they do that is because, well, people want to get in even more because of the stupid passcode. Like, if it was a regular bar, it wouldn't. Like, it's not an amazing bar inside. This is a regular bar. But if it was regular, they would have half as many customers because not as many people want to get in. Like, people want the experience of being like, oh, I got the secret code, and I go yeah. in, and I get a drink, and, like, the drinks are just normal drinks, but people love the exclusivity thing. And, yeah, like, if Zed game was, like, it's just a little rook symbol, and it's like, everyone's like, what's that? And it's like, don't worry about it. And then, like, you go and, like, I know yeah. better. I know what it is, you know.
That's so cool.
Maybe you have to, this is getting too off topic, but not too, this is too getting too crazy, but like, maybe in order to go into the Zed game store, you need like one item of Zed game clothing first to like even enter. But like, okay. you can buy that at like a normal store.
Or maybe you have to receive Zed game clothes as a gift from a current member first. Isn't that cool?
Now this is a good idea right yeah. here. You have to get him as a gift, and you're like, what the hell is Zed game? And it has, like, the little rook. Like, yeah. it's like an emblem. It's like the crocodile on those, you know, those, like, polo shirts, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly
like,
the same.
Like, mm-hmm. whatever it's called. It's like a little rook, and you're like, what the hell is this? And it comes with, like, a single business card. Like, all it says is just it has, like, the shirt, and then a single business card with the rook, and then on the back it says Zed Games. And that's all it says.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you can look, you can do research if you want. And if you do, you'll find where the stores are. And then you have to, if you wear that shirt, it's called like the entry shirt. Like it's a really classy like shirt, maybe like a polo or something. We would have yeah. to design this like entry level Zed shirt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like the initiates shirt or mm-hmm. the neophytes or
yeah, yeah. something but it's like a really nice shirt, but it's the same for everybody. Like it's like, that's the one shirt, you know?
Yeah.
We had designed it, it's really classy. And in order to get into Zed Games in the mall or wherever it is, the outlet stores, you have to be wearing that. And then they yeah. let you in.
Yeah, and maybe there are different ranks, you know. Maybe after you're an initiate, you can pass up to like the magician level, and uh-huh. then you get an even nicer like an that one's, so it starts at like a polo, and then
yeah.
the magician is like the Oxford shirt.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You get a monocle at some point.
Yeah.
You can't buy them, but you can see, that's another thing they could do, like unlocks, right? So it's yeah. like, it's like, here's items they literally do not sell. The only way to get them is to spend enough money to rank up to like get the item that way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So it's like, oh, you want the monocle, you have to be a level 4 knight in order for us to give you the monocle. Then you get the monocle as a gift, you cannot buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then, like,
super good idea.
People would be selling it on, like, eBay or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Zed Games.
Zed Game. Prepare for your end game.
I like it.
Do you want to do your first trivia question of the day?
Sure. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. The category is dance.
I don't know anything about dance.
Okay.
I will do 50-50.
Okay, your first question is, Oleg, also known as blank, is a form of love dance in the Indonesian province of Bali.
Okay.
So, Oleg, it's a form of love dance. What's it also known as? Is it A, the dance of the prophets? B, the dance of the bumblebees? C, the dance of the magpies? Or D, the dance of the peasants?
Oleg, it's a love dance?
Yes.
Where was it at? Where is it in?
In the Indonesian province of Bali.
Indonesia and Bali, okay. Love dance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bumblebees, magpies, peasants, or prophets?
Yes.
The dance of the prophets sounds really badass. I just have to say that right now.
That's what they do at Zed Game.
It's the dance. That's the initiation ritual.
Yeah.
Like, you go into the room, and then there's, like, candles, and there's people wearing, like, cool Zed Game robes.
Yeah, you drink some weird Kool-Aid, and you have to do yeah. a dance.
And then, like, the elder goes, like, you now we begin the dance of the prophets. And then everyone says, dancing. And then you have to dance. Sorry. Dance of the prophets. I'm going to use 50-50.
Okay. It is either A, the dance of the prophets, or B, the dance of the bumblebees.
I think bumblebees was my first instinct because it sounds kind of sexual already, doesn't it? Like the dance of the bumblebees. You're like buzzing and bizzing around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make, is this just me?
Bumping maybe? Into stuff.
Bumping into stuff. So I think I'm going to go with Bumblebee's final answer.
Okay, you're correct.
Yes. So Dance of Prophets is something you just made up.
Yeah, I made up all the rest.
Dance of the Prophets is a good Zed game. We'll keep that in the back burner so when you make the business, you can you can throw that in there. That's the initiation ritual. Yeah.
We need to go over all those leaked like Masonic PDFs to see what all they do under the closed doors.
Yeah, and then
doors.
Follow a just very copy similar. Them. Like, yeah, basically the same thing. Pepper in a little Scientology in there because we want people to pay a lot of money for every tier like of unlocking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So we'll do like the aesthetic of the Masons with the business model of Scientology. Yes.
Exactly. Like that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Dude, we don't need like a sacred text or whatever. This is just clothing, right? So you don't need anything like
that. You could make something called a brand Bible. That has like rules about how you do stuff,
or like fashion tips, like how to dress.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and like the higher the level you unlock, the more like do's and don'ts you unlock of like how to dress and what's fashionable or whatever.
Yeah, and it can be slightly weird stuff, so that if someone who is a higher level member sees you doing something in particular with your fashion, it'll be like a wink. It'll be like, oh, I see you read the book.
Ah, you have the book. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that gives the higher level people advantage of the lower level people because they'll have like, oh, I know what's fashionable. And the like lower level people, they don't know these things that they know yet. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, we. So like they'll see out in the world like, oh, yeah, that guy's level one. I can tell the way he dresses.
Can we have a secret handshake?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You see a Zed game person on the street. They're wearing Zed clothing. So you go up and you give them the secret handshake.
Yeah.
It has to be discreet, but like firm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's discreet, firm, and a little bit weird.
Yeah. So like I would say you start with a regular handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to like look like you're shaking someone's hand.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to do some weird with the configuration there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the end.
It's hard to do over the internet how we are. But you could do like
you have to start with a regular handshake, though.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
And then you could just like move your hand. And I don't know. It's impossible to do over the internet. But we could come up with something cool.
Maybe you like do a regular handshake and then you move your pinky. That sounds weird.
No, not the pinky. That isn't the one.
Like any form, like when you're handshaking someone and you move one finger to like caress the side of their hand, like that's just weird.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's, I don't know. Maybe it's like a series of squeezes. So like when you're shaking someone's hand, you just squeeze like the whole time, right? But like the secret handshake Zed games, it's like you squeeze a couple times to like indicate, I don't know. We'll come up with it later.
Here's an idea. So one of my relatives I used to have a secret handshake with.
Oh, really?
And we used to call it the secret fish handshake.
Uh-huh.
And what it is the older or like more elevated, like prestigious person is the firm handshake.
Uh-huh.
And the other person is a little bit looser.
Okay.
And while you're shaking, you the like firmer person wiggles the lower person's hand back and forth a little. Like a fish.
Yeah, I got it. Mm. And the lower person receives the fish wiggle.
Yeah, receives the fish wiggle. you can't call it the fish wiggle. That's not, like...
That's not Zed Games material. Yeah. The fish wiggle is not the Zed Game material. Yeah. It would have to be called, like, the Prophets something. I don't know. I like the Prophets.
Gosh. Oscillation of the neophyte or something. I don't know.
Yes, that's what it's called. The oscillation of the neophyte. Yes. I don't know.
I do like that, though, because it's like a senior member, you know, asserting...
Yes, their dominance.
But
then the younger, the less members receiving. I'm like, okay. Yes. Yeah, they're being respectful. Yeah, this is good. Secret handshake. That's an important step. This is just becoming a cult at this point. But you know what? It's kind of what you pitched in the beginning. So
yeah,
It's fine. They could have seasonal wear.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Like a winter. You know, this is the winter thing. They could have a style like guide every year where they like update everyone like on what's in style.
Yeah, for sure.
And then sell the new styles, and like the senior members have access to it before anybody else.
Yeah. The ritual gear, the stuff that you wear to the secret ritual meetings. Gear. Yeah. The ritual gear never changes, but the fashion would be seasonal. Yeah. You'd have, you know, like your standard winter collection, summer collection, and all that.
Yeah. And then like the formal wear, like it can change, but there's always like a standard formal wear. Like if you don't want to do the seasonal, you can always wear like their suit and tie, you know, their like nice suit. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's like an always.
Yeah.
Like you always have the option to do that if you want to the Zed King events that I'm sure they host, right? Like a ball or whatever, right?
It's yeah,
like
a masquerade or something.
Exclusive New Year's Eve masquerade party by Zed Games. You know how good that like idea that is, though? Like have an exclusive party that only people that spent like $20,000 that year can go to.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked at a department store for a very short period, and it's just crazy the amount of money some people spend at those stores.
Yeah. Anyway, what else we got going on today?
So in the news, Google is making a AI ethics group.
Oh, yes. This is like the exact opposite of what we were just talking about. Not really, but like in the in the company that is operating in a different way than Zed Games would.
Yeah.
So what is the AI Ethics Committee for?
It's to address ethical concerns about the way Google has been using their
first AI of all, technology. When you say AI Ethics Committee, you're not talking about an ethics committee with AIs on it, right? Right?
No.
You're talking about people that are thinking about ethics in relation to artificial intelligence.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, that's good. I was just making sure that we're not in the dystopian future quite yet.
No, not quite.
Our computers are like, that is ethical. Thank you.
We need to bring in Siri as a member on the
committee. So what are they, have they decided anything yet? Or
their meeting this month is their first meeting.
So is this about like self-driving cars and all that bullshit?
It's about like self-driving cars, like
pretty much everything Google.
The two big topics they said were biases in machine learning. Whenever you use a big data set, there's obviously going to be a huge bias depending on how you collected your data.
Absolutely huge, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's going to be biased by whoever programmed it.
Yeah, so they're talking about that, and I think the other thing was, I don't remember.
So I glanced at this committee because you sent me a link.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this committee was everyone on the committee was like academics or whatever.
Yeah.
It was like some guy that's a CEO, some woman that's a doctor of, you know, psychology, some dude that's a philosopher of something, and some other person that's a, you know, whatever. There's like a bunch of smart academic-y kind of people on the committee. The weird thing that I've never understood about ethics committees, and maybe this is just me being facetious, but why, oh why, do we have ethics committee and fill them with people that are already, like, they've already made it enough in society that, like, they're basically immune from any action that would be bad that Google could do.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like, they don't have to worry about anything that Google could do to them at this point. They're too far up the ladder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, you bring in Joe Schmo from across the street that works at, like, you know, works construction, and yes, his life could get fucked up via Google. Mm-hmm. I want that guy on the ethics committee.
Yeah, me too.
You know? But they never do that. They never do that in an ethics committee. And I don't really get that.
Yeah, that's something I didn't think about until you mentioned it to me. It's just, you know, everybody on there is like, I'm a senior professor emeritus of psychology at Harvard University.
Sure.
And then,
And then, like, it's, well, that's great. I'm sure you know a lot about philosophy and ethics, and someone else knows a lot about robotics and blah, 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 blah. But, like, how does that really help with the distinction of ethics? Like, you're basically coming from it as, like, all right, what do these 8 rich, smart people think about ethics? Yeah. Like, isn't the point of ethics, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole point of ethics is to look at the world through as many possible worldviews as you can and yeah. see what is ethical to one group is not necessarily ethical to another. But the whole point of a committee, I would think, is to gather as many diverse opinions on it as you can. But what they're doing is they're like, all right, let's get a bunch of rich academic people and see what they think about ethics. And, like, guess what? They're probably going to all have similar opinions because these decisions aren't going to affect them very much.
Yeah.
It's just, it's stupid.
And people like that, they're going to, the opinions they share on the committee are going have the potential to come back and haunt them in a way. Mm-hmm. Like Joe Schmo off the street, it doesn't matter what he says at the committee. Like, nothing he says is going to mess up his life.
Yeah.
It'd be like, well, I made an ass of myself at this committee, whatever. It doesn't matter. Who cares? I'm going to work at my construction job tomorrow.
Right. Like, yeah. Doesn't matter.
But these people, like, if they say something that sounds dumb or is wrong, they kind of have
their career could be on the line.
Their career could be on the line.
So they're probably walking on eggshells, like, well, I want to be kind of in the middle and be similar to what everyone else thinks. And then you could just get, like, opinions that are very bland and, like, very moderate, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're kind of falling in line with each other out of necessity to try to not seem too outrageous or whatever. But, like, Joe Schmo has no he has a lot of stake in it, but he doesn't have any stake in, like, looking like an idiot. Like, he's just gonna be like, yeah, that's dumb. You know, I don't care what you think, because, this doesn't affect me at all. I mean, me saying this doesn't affect me, but you implementing this might, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why they don't do that with the ethics committee. We should design our own ethics committee for AI, like, really fast.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So, first of all, I agree that we should have some regular people on Absolutely. This thing.
Need regular people.
Not all regular people, but we should have some.
We should have some, yes, for sure.
So, how do we get them? People.
Regular people?
Yeah. I'll tell you the idea that immediately comes to my mind.
No, what is it? Tell me what it is.
So, on the local radio station, you know how they have
yes.
those contests that are like, be the 9th caller and you'll get tickets to see Lynyrd Skynyrd.
So you're like, be the 9th caller and you'll win a spot on the Google Ethics Committee.
Yes.
I love it.
And then you get like a big demographic from that, right? You get all the people that listen to, like, morning talk radio, right?
Yeah, and that's in, like, their car on the way to right? work.
That's like a very specific demographic of people, which is exactly what you want. You got that demographic. So that's perfect. Like, that's going to, like, Joe Schmo, the construction worker, he's getting on it through that, right?
Yeah.
And you probably also need to spice it up a little bit, like, because Joe Schmo might not necessarily want to be on an ethics committee, but, like, it'll be like, Win the chance to be on the ethics committee and also $1,000 gift card at
Bass Pro Shops. It's perfect.
Poor Joe Schmo. We're really painting a picture of Joe.
He loves Bass Pro Shops.
He does. He does.
You can fish in their parking lot. It's amazing.
That's where they have the ethics committee.
Yes. Whoever catches the biggest bass in the parking lot gets to be on the ethics committee.
And the ethics committee is hosted in the back of Bass Pro Shops. You know how that some Bass Pro Shops, because they're really big, they'll have, like, a back room where they host, like, events and stuff? Like, yeah. That's where the ethics committee is.
It's perfect.
Google Ethics hosted by Bass Pro Shops. They're the official sponsor. On the ethics committee. Oh, I love that idea. All right, who else is on the committee? Joe Schmo, talk radio, or, you know, morning radio listener.
Yeah.
I feel like we want, like, a single mom. That would be a really good, like, worldview to see. I don't know how to get a single mom, though.
You could contact a one of those mom bloggers on Instagram that posts pictures of cupcakes and stuff, like cupcake recipes.
I don't know if that's kind of... I feel like you want someone that's like a working single mom, like someone that's like in the shit of it, you know, like they're struggling a little bit, because they'll have a much better view on this kind of thing than someone that's successful. You know what I mean? Like a successful blogger. I don't know. You see what I'm saying?
You're right. Maybe. Yeah, I thought maybe running a contest on a blog, but maybe a better idea
That would be good. What were you going
to say? A contest on a blog, or you could contact just some different employers and say, hey, you got any single moms?
That we can talk to? Yeah, so you kind of do a grassroots approach there, I feel like.
Yeah.
And you get a single... I feel like a single working mother would be a really good viewpoint.
I agree.
That's another one.
Or a school. Contact a school.
Oh, yeah. Here's a good one. I was gonna say college student, but I think that's too...
No, don't invite them.
They're too smart. Not smart, but like, they think they're smart.
Yeah.
Here's a good one. 12-year-old boy or girl.
Yeah.
Right? I'm being completely serious.
Maybe the single mom can bring her kid. No. There's bias there.
That's bias. Yeah, you need a separate... Yeah. So, whatever the single mom has, like, gender-wise, like their oldest child, or the one closest to 12, you need to get a child that's the opposite gender of that child.
Or here's what you do. You can have a contest where a school can win a scholarship, and kids will send in like their essays on AI, and
that's
you pick an essay contest.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. Yeah. And they're like, it's like 12 to 15 or something like that. It's like, you know, young but not super young kind of age, and they come in and they can be in the ethics committee. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and there's a screening process where you can kind of read essays beforehand.
Yeah, I want to get back to this, but I want to do another trivia question.
Okay.
Really quick. So we have three people. We got Joe Schmo, construction worker, single mom, and 12-year-old boy or girl.
Off to a great start.
I mean, we've got a better ethics committee than Google already has so far.
All right, your second question is about music.
Okay, I love music. I don't even need to pick up. No, I will.
No, you do.
I'll do Money Hole.
Okay. Your question is, Swedish singer Sofia Samajo released her second album via blank.
Okay, I don't know this at all.
Sofia Samajo, the Swedish singer.
Yep.
Is it A, The Pirate Bay? Is it B, Leaving a Stack of CDs in Front of a Department Store?
That's the way I would do it.
Is it C, Bandcamp? Or is it D, The Dark Web?
Wow. So I would leave a stack of CDs, because that's funny. But I know most musicians would use Bandcamp these days. So that's like where I lean, but I'm going to use my Money Hall, and I'm going to lock in Leave a Stack of CDs, because I don't think she would do that, but I think it's funny, so I'm locking it in.
Okay. It is either A, The Pirate Bay.
Oh.
Or B, Leaving a Stack of CDs in Front of a Department Store.
Okay, I could see Pirate Bay as like a... It's like a kind of a cool, edgy way of releasing music, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't get paid.
Doesn't matter. It's exposure. You're not going to get any exposure from leaving a stack of CDs in front of a department store. People are just going to throw that away. So I'm going to go with Pirate Bay, final answer.
You're correct.
Yes. Two for two.
Two for two.
That's actually a good idea. Like, if you're not... if you don't need to make money off of it, and you're just trying to get, like... famous enough to maybe record another album or record, like, you know, some other thing or get, like, a record deal or something.
Yeah.
Pirate Bay might be a smart way to do it because, like, you can get some press from that, like, singer releases album on Pirate Bay, you know what I mean? And I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of edgy and ironic and...
It's an interesting way to do it. I don't know if she was successful. She's successful enough to be a part of this trivia question, so... There you go. Back to Google. I want to get back into the ethics thing really fast. Okay.
So we got three. We need
more. How many did they have? Six or eight?
They had a lot.
Do you want to do six or eight for ours?
Let's just see how we feel after six.
Okay. So we got single mom. We got Joe Schmo. We should name all these. Joe Schmo. Carl, the construction worker. Maria, the single mom. And we'll call it Kenny, the 12-year-old boy.
Okay, perfect.
Who else do we want? Do we want a doctor or a smart person of some kind?
I think we want a medical doctor.
A medical doctor? Interesting. Why do you say that?
Because AI is used a lot in medicine.
Okay. So you don't want, like, a hoity-toity psychologist or, like, a philosopher. You want, like, a...
What like do they use AI
sack
for?
Sack of potatoes, like, doctor.
Yeah.
No. Like, you want someone that... Okay, medical doctor. Maybe a family practice or pediatrician. Someone that sees a lot of people, you know what I mean? That, like, has to interact with patients a lot.
I was thinking family practice. Someone who is involved with his own medical billing team. Someone who handles that himself, kind of.
Who realizes the struggles his or her regular patients have to go through.
Yeah.
Family practice, or maybe like, I don't know, family planning or something like that, you know, that has a lot of patients and is doing that. So some kind of medical doctor. I don't think that, you know, either gender, we could just find. And the way we do that is we just go, I'm sure they have like a medical journal or something, and we write an article about looking for volunteers, and there's like a screening process, you know. And
I think you could just call the closest GP to the, you know, Bass Pro Shops, and he'd show up.
Be like, hey, do you want to be part of this?
Yeah.
And be like, sure, why not? And I feel like if you do this in a small town, that's like very optimal.
Yeah.
Because that way, it's less, like, people aren't competing for it as much, because they don't, like, they do it in a random small town.
Yeah.
Right? And they just, like, a week before they contact all these people to try to get them in. And so that way, it's like, there's only, like, a couple general practice doctors in the whole town, and one of them, the person that calls, like, yeah, I'll do that, like, I'm a kind of the representative for our town medical people, so, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm on the town hall.
Right, exactly. Okay, so we got a doctor, single mom, child, and construction worker. We need two more people.
Maybe a local politician?
Yes, maybe.
But someone who's involved with, like zoning disputes.
Yes, like, someone not corrupt. No one that's like a governor or anything like that.
No, not that powerful.
Like a public servant of some kind. You know what I mean? Like zoning. Like Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah. No, but actually that gives me an idea for the next one. Maybe someone from the Audubon Society.
Okay.
Or like a conservation group.
Like that represents nature, like their nature, natural element of the ethics.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so Audubon Society. So then who's the public official then?
Public official... Yeah, I think someone...
Maybe, like, Department of Transportation or something.
That's
a
good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the transportation.
Person there. Yeah. Yeah.
And then who? How many is that?
That's six. We've got six.
Six? Do we need any others?
That's a good number.
I think what we should also have is people, maybe a couple people who resigned from Google because of their ethical...
On the committee?
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe a couple people who resigned their jobs because of ethical concerns they had with their products.
Uh-huh.
'Cause there have been a few.
Okay. We need two more people. And we need a millennial, and that can be the person that resigned from Google.
Okay,
so someone that's like works in a technical capacity now and resigned from Google because of ethical considerations. So put that person on the thing. We also need an elderly person, like a senior citizen.
Okay.
And I think that is just to have the senior citizen perspective.
Yeah.
Honestly. And that's eight. That's a very good ethical committee number, I think.
Yeah, I love this committee.
We're representing a lot of different careers, a lot of different walks of life, a lot of different perspectives, I feel like. We're obviously lacking some, but I feel like we're covering a lot more bases than Google's ethics committee is.
Yeah, when you have all those dudes with, like, PhDs in psychology and philosophy, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
That's almost what I said.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to get all those dudes in a room, and they're just going to talk about Isaac Asimov for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or David Hume or whatever. And it's like, how does this relate to
what's going
the,
on.
Yeah, what's going now. On. Like the now ethical ramifications of what's happening. And when you get all theoretical, like, it's fun to think in theoreticals, but, like, the point of an ethical committee is to apply ethics to real life. And the only people that would be able to apply that to real life are the people that are living a real life, which which are not people in academic...
like, ethics.
Yeah, not the philosophy head of Duke University. Like, that person is not really living a real life. So, I mean, he is, but you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean.
So I think this is a much better ethical committee. And it's sponsored by Bass Pro Shop. And I feel like we could probably put it on, like, ESPN 3 or 4 or something, you know? Like,
record it and broadcast it.
Broadcast it on one of the ESPNs, like one of the lesser ones.
Yeah, you know, the one they show, like, bowling on.
Yeah, like that same ESPN.
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like, I mean, we've got C-SPAN that has just as boring stuff. You get ESPN 5 or 6 or whatever, and you throw it on there.
I think that's a great idea. You could tie it in with the National Bowling League. Like, yeah. Afterwards, everybody on the committee could go bowling together.
Stick around for the ethics thing.
Ethics bowling.
Ethical bowling. But another good thing about this is, like, getting normal people involved in this thing is it exposes people to ethics, right? Which, like, we don't talk about ethics enough as a society. We only ever talk about ethics when there's something wrong, like, that we need to talk about ethics for. And even then, the people that are talking about it are, like, the people on these Google committees that are like, I wrote a book about blah, 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 blah. It's like, why are you the only people that get to talk about ethics? Like, shouldn't, like, Joe Schmo and Maria whatever talk about, like, they should be able to have this conversation with each other. Because, like, it's affecting their life. It's affecting everybody's life, you know?
Yeah. So. And I think when you get a more diverse crowd of people on this committee, it forces more people in each demographic to pay attention to it.
Yeah. Because they're like, oh, they're representing me. Or if they're not representing them, it's like, well, they're not representing me. So, but I care even more because I want to see if, like, my perspective is at least heard. Whereas now it's like, everyone is like, well, they're not representing me ever because... they don't even care because they're getting all these, like, smart people that,
yeah,
you know, that don't have any, like, ramifications for this problem. I don't know. It's my opinion. But
I think they're good opinions. I think we nailed it.
Bass Pro Shop, ethical. Google ethical. Ethics Committee sponsored by Bass Pro Shop.
It's perfect.
They could have a fishing competition later or something. I don't know. Should we do the last trivia?
Sure. So, your final trivia question is today in history.
Today? Like this day?
This day in history.
Wow. I'm going to do 5-second Google.
Okay. Question is, today in history, American astronomer Heinrich Wilhelm Matthias Olbers discovered 2 Pallas.
Wait, can you start over? I want to hear this guy's name again.
German astronomer Heinrich Wilhelm Matthias Olbers discovered 2 Pallas, the second asteroid ever identified, in the year blank.
Okay.
So today in history, when was the second asteroid ever identified happened? Okay. Is it A, 1602? Is it B, 1702? Is it C, 1802? Or is it D, 1902?
I have no idea. I don't even know where it could... it could be any of these.
Like, that's 400 years.
I
have no
idea. I know, but it could be any. I feel like... I don't know. It's the second one ever, right?
Second asteroid ever.
I feel like we knew about asteroids... before 1902, right?
But identified the second one.
Yeah. My gut is like 1802. Because, right? It's like, okay, we saw one back in the 1700s. We finally got around to seeing another one in 1802. I don't know. But didn't, like, Galileo, like, back in the 1400s, like, find an asteroid or something?
Maybe that was the first one.
And then it went on, like, a long time before the next one.
I don't know.
Maybe. All right, I'm going to do 5-second Google.
Okay.
Read the question really fast so I can know. I'm not typing. I just want to prepare.
German astronomer
this guy's name is
Heinrich Wilhelm Matthias Olbers discovered...
the second asteroid ever discovered.
Yeah, second asteroid ever.
Right, I'm ready.
Okay, ready. 2, 1, Google.
Second asteroid discovered. Boom.
All right, what do you got?
1802.
Final answer?
Final answer.
You're correct.
Yes. Now, see, that's what I thought, because, like, they saw one in the 1700s, and, like, we got to find another one. And finally, in 1802, Matthias, whatever his name is, found Tupolus, which is a really weird name for an asteroid, I have to say.
Was the first asteroid named One Pallas?
That's a great question. First asteroid discovered. Ceres.
So where did Tupolus come from?
Wow, it was discovered in 1801.
Okay.
So like a year before. By Giuseppe Piazzi.
He has a way cooler name.
He does have a really cool name. He should have named it Giuseppe. Wouldn't that have been a cool name for
that's
an asteroid?
That's way cooler, yeah.
Like, can you see over there? That's Giuseppe. There he is.
That's old Giuseppe.
He's coming around again. Got old Giuseppe. Anyway, did we have any more? I feel like we had more news things, but I didn't want to weigh too down the show with news stories. But
I don't think I had any news things.
You didn't?
Other than AI Group, I started. It's news that I started watching Project Runway.
Yes. Wasn't there something? I feel like there's something else. I don't remember what it was, though.
I was contemplating new careers this week again.
Oh, yes. Let's quickly talk about this, because this is an interesting topic.
This is a neat topic. I came up with a business idea that's... So you know how...
You're just full of business ideas this week.
It's fun to think about business ideas.
Okay, go ahead.
So the idea was people that monitor a brand's Wikipedia page to keep it from being vandalized. Mm-hmm. So... You know, I would be a consultant.
I would pay for your services. You would monitor my page and make sure everything was correct.
Yeah. And whenever maybe a news story came out that, you know, spoke highly of the product, I would add it.
And when it spoke negatively, you'd, like, minimize the impact.
Yeah. I think the biggest service would be crisis management. Like, if Boeing contacted me because their plane started crashing, I would be like, okay, we need to monitor this Wikipedia page, make sure we keep this on the down low.
Yeah, so you would be like the security for that.
Yeah, and I would have a bunch of different accounts that would constantly debate negative press and, like, just try to make it as difficult as possible to speak poorly about a company.
Wow. That's an impressive business idea.
Yeah, it already exists.
But it already exists, yeah. So there's, like, a person out there that does this full-time.
Yeah, there's a firm, and they have an office in New York. It's, like, a big office.
So this is, like, probably, like, multi... This is probably, like, a PR / you know, digital image management company. Like, this is probably, like, a wholesale kind of... You know what I mean? They take care of everything. You know what I mean?
No, it's just Wikipedia. That's the only service they offer.
That's wild. Is there enough people out there that really care about their Wikipedia articles not being vandalized?
I don't think it's just vandalization. I think it's actually, like, if you have an employee that makes a mistake, you need to keep that out of your Wikipedia article.
Yeah. Here's another...
You know, even real news, you need to keep that out.
Here's another thing. I was looking at this page because you sent it to me.
Yeah.
But... It almost seems like this guy or this firm makes Wikipedia articles for people that are not quite Wikipedia article worthy yet. So, like...
That's another service, yeah.
Let's say I own Zed Game. You know, not Zed Game, but I own a clothing company, right? And that's small, but it's not miniature. Like, it's got some good press, you know? It's kind of popular maybe in the area. I'm in, but it's not, like, nationwide, it's not super big yet, but, like, it's got some buzz, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe I've been on TV a few times promoting it, But I don't have my Wikipedia page yet because I'm not like super, super successful yet. But I'm still moderately successful. But I'm vain and I want that Wikipedia page, right? And I don't want to wait for me to get really successful to get one. Because I feel like if I have one now, maybe that'll make it seem like I'm more successful than I am and people will give me more business. So I hire you to make me a Wikipedia page and monitor it and like make sure it's there.
Yeah.
And I think this is a service because if you make a Wikipedia page for someone that's not super relevant, Wikipedia will take it down. They'll be like, this isn't relevant. Like, take it down. But this firm will probably fight for your page. So they'll put you up. Wikipedia will be like, this doesn't seem relevant. And they'll be like, no, it is because such and such had sold such and such and such millions of product and such and such. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there you go. That's business right there.
It's a really good idea.
So what you can do is have like the budget version. Just charge like half of whatever this firm's charging. Like undercut them a lot. Don't promise as much as they do, but like be like, yeah, if you want it, I got it. I can do it, you know.
I'll make a Wikipedia page and I'll prevent it from being vandalized by your competitors.
Yeah.
For the low price of $99 a year.
A year, yeah. And that's probably like a tenth of the rate they're charging the other company is.
Oh, it's way less.
Yeah. So it's a steal. You make money hand over fist.
Here's the thing though. See, I immediately think of these like exploitations you can do. So any new article I would create, I would intentionally vandalize it.
So you and, know.
And force them to pay me more to protect it from me. And they wouldn't know it was me.
But. And then you wouldn't vandalize it ever again. And you'd be like, see, look, my services as are long working. As they pay. You're like the mob. The scenario. Like a load shirt. Yeah, no, it's a good business idea. Do you want to do a few Reddits before we end the show?
Sure.
I have some good ones here. First question. What is constantly ridiculed but extremely helpful?
I don't know. Do you have any?
I have a good one for this. It doesn't exist anymore. But my answer is Clippy from Microsoft Word.
Is it really helpful?
Well, let me justify my answer, okay?
Please.
So, currently, if you open Microsoft Word, Clippy is not around anymore. And for those that don't know what Clippy is, he's a little paperclip that came up, and when you're in Microsoft Word, he'd be like, here's how to do la 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 la, and you're like, oh, thanks, Clippy. And you'd minimize it. Most of the time, he was annoying, because you're like, I don't care about that, Clippy. But let me tell you, you open Microsoft Word today, I don't know if your job requires Microsoft Word a lot, but mine does, and I'm like, how the hell am I supposed to do this? I don't even know where this button is because there's like a million buttons on Microsoft Word now. And sometimes I have the thought of like, you know, I wish Clippy was here. He would know what to do. You know?
There was one good thing that Clippy did.
What?
And it's if you were writing a letter, if you started your Word document with a date or something, he would be like, it looks like you're writing a letter.
Do you want me to make it a letter? And you're like,
yeah. For you. Because I always forget how to do that. Where's the date go? Where's the address go?
Me too. And that's like, for those things, I think Clippy is a lot really useful. For people that don't know how to use a computer, Clippy is super useful. You like write something out and he's like, looks like you're trying to do this. Is that right? And you're like, yeah. And he's like, let me do that for you. And you're like, great. Now it's like, we've talked about this on the show before, but like programs aren't made to be easy to use anymore. They're made to be easy to use by people that already know how to use them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in order to actually figure out how to use a program, you literally have to go to Google and be like, how do I do this in Microsoft Word? Whereas with Clippy, there's a chance he would just pop up and be like, hey, looks like you're trying to make a table. You want me to help you with that? And you're like, yes, I do, Clippy. Please.
So do you use Windows 10?
I do, yeah.
Do you have Coronada turned on?
Coronada? I don't know what that is.
Okay, you don't then.
Why?
Coronada is the really annoying personal assistant that Microsoft has pre-installed on Windows 10.
Oh, the Microsoft Siri or whatever?
Hey, do you need some help, dude?
And you're like, no, Clippy, I don't need any help.
It's like, shut up, go away, never talk to me again. Like,
yeah. It is annoying for people to know what you're doing, but I just would like to turn Clippy on. Like, Clippy should be a feature I can turn on in Microsoft Word.
Do you remember back in the 90s of Microsoft where there would be different buddies you could choose other than Yippee.
Yes. Oh, I love the buddies. Yeah.
There was one that was like Albert Einstein.
Uh-huh. And weren't there ones you could download? You could, like, download different buddies?
I think there was.
I think there were, too, because I remember, like, getting a couple different buddies and, like, being excited when I got a new... Like, I literally remember spending a day, like, getting new buddies on the internet and being like, ooh, there's, like, a bear or something.
Yeah. I remember thinking I was so cool that I had these word buddies that would be like, hey, it looks like you're writing a letter.
I was like, I remember being obsessed with this for like not a very long time, but like a few days. I was like, the word buddies are so cool. I want them.
I remember if you used to like click in specific ways on them, they would do tricks.
Yeah.
Like Clippy would do like a flip or whatever. Would
dance or whatever. Yeah. And there was a website that like told you all the secret things you could do with Clippy. I remember this website because you could click on different places of Clippy and you'd do like different things. And all the other word buddies were the same, like not the same, but you could click on them and they like do a dance or something. Mm. And there's like a website in the 90s that you could like see all the, like it would tell you all the tricks, like, oh, do this and you can get Clippy to whatever. I completely forgot about that until you literally just brought it up. Like I haven't thought about that in 20 years at least.
Yeah. It's like simpler times. It is. It's amazing how just like this piece of programming that Microsoft probably put zero thought into can make such an impact on.
Like, I remember those. That's crazy. Yeah. I doubt.
They were my friends.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing, in like 5 years, like no one will remember. That was such a specific period of time when that was popular, like Clippy. Like it was like 1994. Four to 1998 or something like that. It was like a 4 year span.
Yeah.
Like so it's some amount of time it's gonna go away and like no one will know what we're talking about. Because you had to be using the computer in those four years to like even remotely know what the hell we're talking about.
And pretty much every person in that 4 year period knew who Clippy was.
Oh, I mean,
this wasn't like a small. Everybody knew about this.
Yeah, everybody knew.
And soon no one will.
So, no, it's crazy. You get a check in the mail for $500 every time you poop, but you always have diarrhea. Do you accept the offer?
No.
No? You don't accept it?
No.
I would accept it.
I might. I would think do about it.
100%. That's like $500 a day for the rest of your life.
All right, $500 a day. That's like six digits, dude.
It depends on how much you use the restroom.
Right? If it's diarrhea, it might be twice a day.
That's true. I mean, for me, it's at least once a day. Well, maybe not at least, but regularly once a day. So that's $500 a day on average, right?
Yeah.
There's 365 days a year.
You're making at least $100,000 a year. You don't have to work anymore.
You're making a cool $100,000 a year at least. Well, let me do that math really fast. You're making $182,000 a year.
That's if you're really regular, which I would be on like probiotics, all that kind of
just for cool pooping. Stuff. Yeah. Like how great is that?
No, I think I'd take actually.
Yeah, for sure. You'd get used to it after a while. This is like the evil genie. Like, it's like, okay. You want to accept this offer? I would do it.
Yeah. That would be I bet the medical community would be interested in the effects that has on your body. Like, I wonder if
it would be
long-term health consequences.
You know what would be bad? Actually, yeah. Because when you have diarrhea, you lose a lot of liquid. So you would need to hydrate very well. Because you could get dehydrated very easily by having diarrhea every single day. And it would be really bad for your bowels. Because they're like, you know, they're like... It's basically like if you had plumbing and like someone's whacking it with a hammer every day. Like, that would be the equivalent. And that's probably not super good for your long-term health. So, yeah, it doesn't sound as good as it does on first impression.
I might still do it.
But, I mean, $182,000 a year. Like, you could pay to fix your pipes, you know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
You don't have enough money for that. All right, last question. You're in a coma until 2040. You wake up in front of a computer, and Google is the first screen that you see. What do you Google first? Like, what is the first thing you Google when you see 2040?
I would want to go to a convenience store and buy some snacks.
That has nothing to do with the question. The question is, what are you Googling? What are you looking up on the internet first?
Oh, like information, okay.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of was like, wow, if I've been in a coma for 20 years, I just want to like go drink some Arizona iced tea, like experience flavors.
Arizona iced tea doesn't exist in 2040. No.
It will. It'll still be 99 cents too.
I hope so. It's crazy how it's been 99 cents for so long. Do they have some like trick that, I don't know how they do that.
I don't want to know because I love it, but. All right. What do you Google?
I don't know what I Google.
I would want to see how like, Twitter. Jackie Chan, like Jackie Chan is doing. Like,
he's probably, well, yeah.
I hope he's not.
Maybe, I don't know. That's the first thing you Google, Jackie Chan.
Probably.
That's the worst answer to this question.
Why?
I don't know.
What's the right answer?
I don't know. Maybe it is Jackie Chan. Maybe it is Jackie Chan, I don't know. I don't even know what I would Google first.
Well, you just woke up. Think about it. What are you Googling?
What am I really interested in knowing? I want to know if, like, I don't know, the world is still the same as it was, relatively. Maybe I can Google a world map and be like, okay, let's see if any countries have moved around.
That's a good idea, actually.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe we're in some kind of war and there's, like, some shit going on, you know? I don't know. You remember, the beginning of The Fifth Element?
Mm-hmm.
Where Lilu is like Googling a bunch of shit, like,
yeah,
really fast. Do you remember this part?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the first thing she Googles. It's like, I don't know, it's like life or something. But that's too generic for 2040.
Yeah. I think a map, Jackie Chan. I think those are good answers.
Those are the two best answers we got. A map and Jackie Chan. Let's see a map of the world, and also let's see how Jackie Chan is doing. Those are the two very important topics that the Time Bat Show would be interested in waking him in a coma in 2040. Final question. You have 5 minutes left to live. What do you do? What are you spending doing?
Oh, God. It's... I don't want to say.
On that note, who's our sponsor today, Bat Snacks?
Our sponsor today is 90-Year Cream Soda.
Oh, when you're feeling like something really creamy, remember to pick the one with the lasting flavor.
90-year.
90-year cream soda. Remember, when you're feeling kind of groovy,
take it to a movie.
There you go. Have a great night, everyone, and drive safely.
See you later.
Bye.